We've been warned for years about robots and computers taking our jobs as automation sweeps through workplaces right around the globe. A chief executive of an online advertising agency has warned the swift rate of change will spark a crisis, and he's urging governments and companies to start addressing it now. Ed Husic is the Federal Shadow Minister for the Digital Economy, Employment Services, Workplace Participation and Work, Future of Work. He joins me now. Mr. Husic, good morning and welcome to AM.
Good morning, Sabra.
Do you see this trend as a positive or a negative?
Well, I guess when you start talking about technology and what impact it can have on people's lives, the moments that go from awe to anxiety are pretty tightly bound, and people do start to think about what technology can do to their jobs. But, I mean, the realisation that, you know, technological change and automation has been with us since the Industrial Revolution is one thing, but the pace of that change, the breadth of that change, and our preparedness for that change, in particular our preparedness for that disruption that we'll see in job markets, that is a valid question. I think Paul Bassett's comments yesterday that you referred to are a very timely wake-up call for governments.
The CSIRO report on this area believed that about 44% of jobs are at risk of automation. Some workers, though, just don't want to give up their old jobs, even with automation. They can't imagine doing anything else. What do you say to those people?
Well, I guess it's a number of things. One is getting the stats clear and the likely impacts in Australia is very important. Some of the sectors that might be affected, particularly financial services, some work done by a local research and data analytics firm, Fathom, suggested that in financial services, 40% of the jobs could be automated. But in hospitality, fast food accommodation, 90% of those jobs could be automated. So the question that gets posed for people like what you did a few moments ago, people do realise that their jobs have to change, but they want to know that they're going to be looked after in the transition. And, you know, that will require some smart investment in terms of schooling, vocational education, university education, not necessarily to skill people up for new work, but to skill them attitudinally and also to prepare them for very big shifts in jobs. The job they're doing today could be completely different to the job that they're doing tomorrow.
Along with that focus on STEM subjects, as science, technology, engineering and maths, can you see a time when governments might impose a robot tax like Bill Gates suggested, or even mandate that a percentage of jobs be filled by humans?
I think some of the things like what Bill Gates has put on the table are designed to provoke thought from government about how they will get ready for things. And for big corporates as well, I think there's a realisation in corporate Australia, when I do talk with them about this issue, that they've got the capability now to actually, particularly in terms of financial services, automate a lot more of what they're doing, but they are conscious about the job impact. So for corporates and for government, and particularly for corporates, what are the workforce strategies they've got in place, and how are they going to back it up in terms of retraining? I think that's an active question, but I don't think it's one that has been ignored within corporate Australia, though we can certainly speed things up in considering it. In Australia, within the government has had reports that have said this is going to have a big impact. We're going to have to change the way we think about education and training people up, and we're going to need to act on it. But those reports, sadly, like the one that you mentioned before, led by the CSIRO, are just sitting gathering dust.
But what about Labor's view? That idea of mandating a percentage of jobs have to be filled by actual people, do you think that that's got merit?
We certainly have not considered that approach. What we have been focused on, if you look at our agenda, is making sure we've got the proper investment in schools, in vocational education, and in universities. It's why we stood so firmly on the issue of Gonski and making sure that we get the proper funding in place, because we do need flexible ways of educating young people for future change. The biggest thing is not necessarily just focused on subject per se. It's the attitudinal preparedness. It's the building up the resilience in future generations that, you know, we are likely to see jobs change markedly and you may need to do a completely different job. How do you, through the application of lifelong learning, for instance, skill yourself up to be able to make that shift? And that's why we want to be able to see that investment being put in right now. But there are two other cohorts that we need to think about too: people that are currently in the workforce that will be impacted and how we help them, and also people who traditionally would have been seen to have retired are going to want to come back in the workforce as well and work longer. How do we help in that space as well?
Ed Husic, a discussion for another day, but thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Sabra.